This evening we're going to continue our study looking at the theme of enjoying God, which we've been looking at for a few Sundays now. And maybe you remember when we began, we took a look at the foundation of our happiness, which is, if you recall, God's sovereign happiness in Himself. Remember we looked at Psalm 115, verse 3. It says that God is in the heavens. He does whatever He pleases. And we saw that God is an infinitely happy God. And more than that He delights in His own glory. In fact, He delights in displaying the glory of all that He is, all of His perfections and attributes, and how that should be an impetus to live more fully and more happily in Him. Well, then we moved on from the foundation to the formation of our happiness and our enjoyment of God. We did that last week, and we began by looking at Psalm 27 and verse 4, where we're told to behold the beauty of the Lord. We saw that beauty basically is that which delights the sight. That which delights the sight. And we saw that God, because He is most beautiful, is the one who most delights the sight, the gaze of our souls. And so there is where we should be looking. There is where we should be gazing. And I encourage you to be poring over the attributes of God as you go to Him in prayer. And I trust and pray that that has become your practice, just to gaze and to delight yourself in the radiant beauty of God's loveliness. Well, this evening we're continuing on with the formation of our enjoyment of God. And we're going to be looking at Psalm 103 and the first five verses. And so just track with me as I read these verses with you. Psalm 103, verse 1 to verse 5. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. And may God just bless this portion of His Bible to our hearts and lives this evening. Hey, if I were to give you $100, how'd you feel? Pretty good?
Not as good as $200,
but would you not feel pretty good? Would you not be happy about that? Be some happy people here tonight, right, if I gave them $100? Well, I wish I had $100 to give you, but I don't, so too bad. But if I had, I'm sure you'd be giddy with delight. And that's just the way it happens when someone benefits you. When someone gives you a benefit. Benefit? What do I mean by that? Well, it's that which communicates goodness. That which is a sign, a show of kindness. Comes from two Latin words, bene factum, I think. To do good. To do good. That's what a benefit is. And so the psalmist says here that God has benefited us. And he says we're not to forget these benefits. You think that the benefits that you know in this life are great? Well, they are. And God says here in Psalm 103, don't forget them. He says, look down your Bibles. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Okay, all the good things, all the kindnesses God has shown you. And so you see, here's where enjoying God comes in. Not only in gazing upon His beauty, but in remembering His benefits to us. And I want to argue tonight that by doing this, that this is how we learn to enjoy God. And God has given us these benefits to enjoy Him. And the psalmist says, don't forget that. Don't forget His benefits. Keep on looking. You want to know why he says, don't forget? Because we do. That's right. And he's smart. And he's getting tough with his soul. He says, soul, I know you forget. I know that's a habit, but don't forget. Sometimes when I have to leave home at night, or whenever I'm going up the door, let's say, Wendy will say to me, don't forget such and such and such. And I go, yeah, sure, I won't forget. And I go and I come back and she says, did you remember that? And I say, no, why? And I forgot. And that's why I told you not to forget. I mean, that's why we tell people not to forget. We need to tell ourselves not to forget for the very reason that we do forget. And the psalmist says, don't forget, soul, God's benefits. Don't do that, because if you do, you're going to lose out on enjoying God. Is that clear? Okay, well, tonight we're going to look at five benefits in verses 1 to verse 5 Five benefits that we must not forget, that we always have to remember, and that by doing this, we learn to enjoy God. Well, the first benefit is this. He forgives all your sin. Verse 3. Okay, verse 3. Who forgives all your iniquities. All your iniquities. Isn't that fantastic? I'm in the store this week, and I'm just getting some groceries. I'm getting a lot of groceries, in fact, and I'm just watching the clerk at the cash, and she's just punching in all these numbers, and I'm just watching the amount grow and grow and grow, and then finally there's the tally, and then there's the choke. But have you ever thought yourself this? What if God were to compute, to tally up every sin that you have ever committed? And you get a number. Yeah. That'd be a pretty big number, wouldn't it? That'd be a pretty huge number. You know, the amazing thing is this, that even though that number is very, very high and very great, God's Word says that He forgives all your sins. He forgives all of them. You say, you mean the really bad ones? Yeah, the really bad ones. The comparatively insignificant ones, although no sin is insignificant, but comparatively the insignificant ones, as well as the really heinous ones, He forgives the lust. He also forgives the adulteries, the actual adulteries. He forgives those really wicked, angry thoughts that you've had against your sister, your brother, or a friend, or whoever. He also forgives murders. Forgives those things. Every sin, He forgives. And that's wild. And I'll tell you this. There are so many people who go around, there's so many people who walk in this world, and they carry on them a tremendous burden of guilt. If you come to Jesus Christ and you have confessed your sin and you have seen that guilt removed, then you know what it is to be unburdened by the guilt of sin. And what a tremendous blessing that is to have all of your trespasses, all your iniquities, all your sins dealt with by Christ on the cross at Calvary and to be released. You know, some people, they're just, they live and they're absolutely consumed with guilt. And it manifests itself in the most bizarre ways. But you know what? If you've come to Christ, confessed your sin, you've laid your sin down at the cross of Jesus Christ, there is forgiveness for you. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Isn't that amazing? Faithful and just. Do you know that because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross by dying for all your sins, that God would be unjust to hold back and not forgive your sins? It's because of what Christ has done on the cross, and because God is faithful and just, that when we go to Him, we can be confident that He will forgive. And by the way, you know what I mean by forgive? Forgive means that you give up every claim of remittance. Forgiveness means that you give up every claim of remittance or retribution or resentment. You just give it up. It's like if you owe me $200 and I knew that you were struggling along, you had bills that you couldn't pay and you were in over your head, and I'd go up to you and I'd say, you know, you're having some troubles, and you say, yeah, I've got some troubles. I said, I'll tell you what. I'm going to give up that claim that I have, that $200. I'm just going to give it up. I'm not going to insist on it. I'm not going to hold it against you. I'm not going to resent you for it. I'm just going to give it up. And that's what God's done with your sins. He has given up every claim of remittance on the sin, on the debt that you have incurred. All of it. And if you've come to Jesus Christ and you've asked God to forgive you, then get this, that judicially, in terms of a forensic law, legal thing, your sin has been dealt with. There's no longer any condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And that means that now, as a child of God, you don't have to worry about, you know, do I have to keep on asking God for forgiveness in order to stay a child? No, you are a child. What you forfeit when you sin is not your relationship with God, it's intimacy with God. And that's what we forfeit now as children of God when we sin. Do you see the difference? And so, the amazing thing is, though, that even as children, we can come to Him and say, God, forgive me. I've sinned. Please forgive me. And He will forgive. And the psalmist says, think about that. Not just when you've sinned, not just when you've fallen short, but whenever. Just think about it. Don't forget that. Just think about that benefit. How great is that? That He forgives all our transgressions. That's something to think about and to get stirred up and stoked up about as we learn to enjoy God. He forgives your sin. Well, that's the first one. The second one is this. He heals all your diseases. All your diseases. You know that headache that you had? It's gone now? God took care of that, didn't He? Yeah, you know that cold and that flu that you got over? That was actually God healing you. In fact, every single ailment that you've ever had, that you've got over, that was God. And the psalmist says, stop and remember that. Okay? Stop and remember that. Last winter, I know I keep on going about this. Wendy and I got so sick. Steve, you had the same thing I had. I remember Steve saying that he could see the veins pulsing in his head. And we were so sick, and we just couldn't shake this thing. And it just lingered, and it went on and on. And, I mean, it was a terrible kind of flu. We'd stand, we'd be dizzy, we'd have to sit back down, or else we'd fall over. And it was terrible. And I remember saying to myself, oh God, when I'm through this, I will be thankful for my health. And I'll tell you, even today, I'm thankful to God for health. And God is... been good and healed us as He has all of our diseases. And you know what? I know that in this life we don't have the promise of having everything fixed. I mean, the psalmist who said this even as he was inching towards the grave and as he would eventually fall apart and get decrepit and old and die. That healing comes fully in heaven when there's no more tear, no more pain, no more diseases or anything like that. But even now in this life, all the cures, all the heals are from God Himself. And that's worthy of amen, isn't it? It sure is. And so He takes care of all of our diseases. That's number two. Well, there's a third benefit. It's this. He redeems your life from destruction. Redeems. You know what that is? You know what kind of term that is? It's a financial term. It means to buy back. It's a picture of slavery, of somebody being a slave and somebody with money goes up and he pays for that slave, and that slave becomes the property of that slave owner. And what God has done, friends, is He's redeemed you. He's bought you back. And He's redeemed you from the pit, it says, from destruction, from hell, from slavery. And He's bought you back. In fact, 1 Corinthians 6 says this, that you were bought at a price. And if you know what that price is, I'll tell you something, you didn't come cheaply. You know what that price was? There could only be one price to get you back, and that was the blood of Jesus Christ. Christ's blood had to be spilt as the ransom to get you back. And you've been bought with an incredibly expensive price. And you've been redeemed. Your life has been redeemed from the pit. And the psalmist says, don't forget that. Don't forget that. When you go home tonight, when you wake tomorrow, as you go through your week, and the month, and the year, and the year, and the year, and the year, and your life, don't ever forget that, the psalmist says. And you've been saved from so much. You've been redeemed from the pit, from hell itself. Remember that, the psalmist says. Just let that concept overwhelm you and just grab you and lay hold of you. We don't do that, do we? I mean, how often do we think about what we've been spared from? How many of you today have thought, I mean, honestly thought, oh God, thank you that you saved me from hell. Did you? Okay, great, fantastic, praise God. I haven't thought a whole lot about that today. We just take things for granted. But the psalmist says, don't do that. Think about this. Remember this. You've been saved, redeemed from hell. How great is that? Remember that, the psalmist says. When he goes on, here's a fourth benefit. He crowns your life with His love. Crown. What a crown. That's a sign of dignity. It's a symbol of honor. And what he's saying here is that you've taken us, poor as we are, and you have made us into something. You have. And it's true, God found you as a pauper. He's made you into a prince. And God has done that by conferring His love upon you. And you know what? You might be a nobody in this world's eyes. You might be overlooked and undervalued and underappreciated. But with God's love and God's favor on you, you are something to behold. The world can't see that. 1 John 3 says that. They don't know who you are. They don't know the dignity with which you've been dignified. Matthew Henry said this: to what greater dignity is a soul capable of than to be advanced in the love and favor of God? And you have been, beloved. God has put His favor on you and His love upon you in Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter what the world thinks or how it looks at you. In God's eyes, you are valued and favored and loved. And that imparts to you a dignity and a value and a worth that this world knows nothing about. And so, praise God for that. Amen. Remember that, the psalmist says. Think about that. You're cherished and valued and of worth, extreme worth to God. What favor He's shown us. Here's a fifth thing. He satisfies your mouth with good things. Where do you want to start with this one? He satisfies your mouth with good things. How about this? He fills your mouth with food. Let's just start there, right? He fills your mouth. You know today when you had lunch? You know that mouthful that was just a bit too big and that you somehow got down? That was from God, right? That was from God. In fact, everything we eat is from God. All the food, it's all from Him. The food you're going to go home and make tonight, the snack you're going to eat later on tonight, after that too is from God. When you wake up tomorrow morning, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, all from God. All from God. It says right here, He satisfies, He fills our mouth with good food, tasty food, right? God could have made food bland tasting, right? Just very utilitarian, just get the job done, put it in your body, let it do its work, but God didn't. I mean, He has made food to taste good. Think about it. A strawberry. What a great concept a strawberry is. Watermelon, juicy, a plum, steak, we'll go on and on and on. I mean, this is fantastic. And God has made our mouth with taste buds so that it interacts with the food. And it's absolutely delicious and it delights us, doesn't it? I mean, how good is God? This is just what God does. I mean, He doesn't just make food. He makes it tasty, right? And He fills our mouths with good things. And then these things do their work. They strengthen your body so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. And it's, the picture here is not like of an eagle getting tired and worn out and, you know, it finds a fish somewhere and eats it up and gets energized. No, no. It's like this. We get tired, and when we eat, our body gets strengthened like the eagle. And the eagle is a picture of strength and vigor, and they're just soaring and flying. It's majestic. And that's us. Ever experienced that where you are famished and you just shut down? Ever experienced that? I remember when I was cycling when I was a teenager. I don't know what age I was exactly, but I didn't eat breakfast and I was out on the road and I didn't get too far and I just shut down. I just couldn't cycle anymore. And I had my lunch with me, thankfully, peanut butter sandwich, and ate that up. And in a minute or two later, I was gone. And that's what God does with food. He fills our mouths with very good, tasty, delicious things that strengthen our bodies. And the psalmist says, don't forget that. Right? Don't forget that. He is so good. And He has benefited us with so many things. He's done so many good things for us. He's forgiven our sin. He's healed our every disease. He's redeemed our lives from destruction. He's crowned us. He's crowned our lives with love. He satisfied our mouth with good things. And we can't forget these things. I know we forget. We've got bad memories. We get distracted. We're not often conscious that these things are from God. We're not often aware of them. And we have to get tough with our souls and say, soul, you're a bad soul. Soul, you forget things. Soul, you must not forget these things. Soul, these benefits, these good things, these kindnesses are from God. Attach, connect, and as you do, you'll begin to experience the joy of God and not live like the pagans do, not like the world does, that just runs around from place A to place B with no thought of God in their minds and with a diminished joy. Friends, that's not to be us. We connect the dots. We connect God with our stake. And as we do that, we're overwhelmed with the sense of His goodness and His kindness to us. And we are filled with joy. And so we thank God for all of His benefits. Not just for His face, but also for His favors and His benefits, which flow super abundantly and endlessly to us. May these things rejoice our hearts in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Well, dear Father in heaven, we pray that we will not be stupid and go out and forget these things tonight. Lord, Your Word says that we can be like the man who looks at the mirror and then walks away and forgets what he looks like, but that would be foolish, God. And we don't want to be foolish. We want to put into practice the things that we've learned, but God, only You by Your grace can do that. And so, Father, give us the grace we need to remember and to not forget. Lord, because we know that our joy is at stake and Your glory as well, when we refuse to delight ourselves in these very good and gracious gifts. And so, Lord, may Your name be glorified as we delight in Your goodness and in Your benefits. And as they become a source, a spring for praise and worship and the glorification of Your great and awesome name. And for that we thank You in advance and for the way You will answer us. And we do this in Jesus' name. Amen.